Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Turns out I'm still eating.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to start a podcast, actually.
Yeah. That's now eight miniature croissants I have had since I turned up for work this morning. It is now 12 minutes past 10 in the morning. Bloody holy fart. Well, that might be... Oh, no, that's a bit disgusting. But I am...
Mind you, you did forgo your porridge in order to have a few extra little mini Danishes and croissants and
it's very hard
custardy
to talk,
yolks.
I mean, you're just podcasting the other day. It's sticking to my teeth and I wouldn't mind a ninth, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Knowing that they're out there calling to you.
There's only two left. We had a whole bag. So basically what happened was I turned up for work this morning and there was a man in a van who looked like he was an assassin, to be quite honest. Sitting
Brilliant.
There, came up on the bike. And as I came around the corner, the man in the van jumped out. It looked like he was going to deck me with his handbag. And he just started wiggling the bag. And I couldn't hear over the engine. All I heard was... Rah, 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 rah. And I was like, yes. You know the way you just say, yeah. And he goes, no, I have some cakes for you and Jim.
Lovely.
So I was like, amazing. Took the cakes, hung them on my brake lever. Not the smartest thing I've ever done. And
You weren't moving at the time.
Oh, I was moving very quickly afterwards, yeah.
Oh, right.
Hung them on the brake lever.
Did this happen right outside the door?
Going into the car park.
Oh, right.
On the motorbike, yeah.
Brilliant.
Jesus, this is repeating on me something awful now all of a sudden. I'm speaking too much. And then I came down and first thing I did was eat two of them. And I says, I might as well have another two. And then, sure, then I got
you. Did you eat two before you even came in to show me that we'd got them?
Oh, yeah, Jesus. What do you think?
I wasn't.
Of course I did. I had one coming up the stairs. I didn't even take my helmet off. I literally shoved it up under my helmet and put it into my mouth.
Unbelievable.
And I was, yeah.
He came in here, right, and he was filming as he walked in and he had the bag in front of him and he was filming my reaction to the bakehouse bag or whatever. I didn't know you'd already wolfed down a couple before.
Two was gone at that time. I wasn't coming up the stairs with a full bag without you. You know what I mean? No way. Are you out of your mind?
For fear that we'd have to share them evenly or something.
If I'm going to get into double numbers, Jim, it's going to have to just... You've got to work at it from the start.
I wasn't even
counting
the ones that I did... Well, obviously, I couldn't count the ones I didn't know about.
Well, so your two
you
are
must
still
be in double figures now.
It's gas how quick things go off, isn't it? That's what I think. Good cake goes off quick. It's already a bit crusty. Like... You know, I'm sure they'd be fine. But they were so soft and pillowy and gorgeous and everything when I arrived here today. Much like myself. And then, you know, I went in, put the bag there. I've just had one. I just came out of the toilet, washed my hands and thought to myself, what does every man need after a wee, honey? A ninth croissant. I put one in my mouth and it's already got a little bit crispy crunchy.
Oh, right.
It's just weird.
And so, we know the way you have very strong views about food going off or whatever. You know what I mean? It's an absolute tragedy. It's the greatest crime against humanity in your book. So your plan is to get that stuff into you.
Well, it's just it takes ages. Like, you know, normally how long does it take for sausages to go off? A month or something. And then, like, you have, you know, regular
I think
steak.
It's a bit less than that, maybe.
A fish, maybe 3 weeks or whatever it is.
Wow.
But, so it's surprising when something starts to change its texture remarkably quickly, like in the space of whatever, 4 hours or five hours or whatever it
Some
is.
Some people
you know.
Might think you were just clutching at straws as an excuse to eat more cake, but not me.
No.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, no, you got to get it down. Yeah, you got to get it down. Yeah, ideally.
And the other thing that's actually happening today, it hasn't happened yet, but PJ and myself are going off, and this is the weirdest thing ever, right? We're going off to speak to other radio people, aren't we?
We're going, we're speaking at a conference. At least I think it's a conference.
Isn't that the maddest thing ever?
Yeah, I
know. Like, you
it,
have
yeah.
to worry about the future of radio.
We're actually opening a conference. Maybe that's the whole theme of the day, though. This is what radio used to be. And then at the end of the day, look how far we've come.
That's it.
So maybe that's the thing,
It's like the sort of radio equivalent of, you know, the way you used to see the evolution of man. And to be at the start, to be an ape or a monkey or something.
Yeah.
And then eventually,
that's
it'd be
you.
An upright man.
And then, and there's, you know, and then, And I'm the chicken you're chasing for dinner or whatever. You know, the pudgy sort of Rhinoceros Rex or something that you'd be chasing to stick a spear in. Or whatever it is. And then at the end, it's like an uptight or an up.
Uptight's probably a good
An uptight.
That's
upright,
a Freudian slip right there.
Yeah. An uptight, upright, current affairs type of person. You know, Stan.
Well, so we've come this far.
Yeah.
Look how far Radio has come.
That is a scary prospect, isn't it?
I think it's great. We've 10 minutes. And the gas thing is, it's like, people don't really understand that when you talk for a living, you're actually quite all right talking for a living. So they've asked us to do this fucking thing, right? And they go, so, you've 10 minutes. So what we'd like you to talk about is how you got into radio, how you get in every day, what clothes, how you pick out your clothes, or whatever. How many children have you all got? We'd like to talk about that. Also, methods of transport. I mean, that should be about 30 seconds. And then, whatever, could we talk about your mental breakdown? There's about 20 seconds of interest in that. Then maybe we could talk about how Jim coped during that. Then we'd like to talk about the death of your mother and all. The importance of radio to the Irish public. You're like, we've 10 minutes. Like,
yeah.
I 10 mean, minutes, like, you know.
That's literally, I mean...
And you, then before you, sign off, could you give us a brief rundown on what's happening for the next 10 hours? You know, yeah. You're like, what the hell is this?
10 minutes is your... That's your... I mean, you're expecting the applause to last for a good 4 of those minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you! Thank you! Ladies and gentlemen, thank you! Thank you! And don't forget, Mr. Yes, thank you! Jim McKay, yes, thank you. Settle down, everyone. Well, settle down. Yeah, yeah. That's yeah, yeah. You know, that's genuinely the way.
Actually, maybe that's not a bad way to do it. I mean, like, you know, maybe, well, maybe we should go out and do the whole hello, Dublin.
Imagine you all these suits and radio sit there. There'd be about 20 people sitting in each room. Yeah. Hello, Dublin. Yeah, do it. I'll hide under the table and go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage your host and MC for the next 10 minutes, Mr. Jimmy McCabe. You know, like, we do that, like, it'd be great if we go spread out.
Or maybe we'll do the wrestling intro. Let's get ready to rumble.
We can't do that, no way. Imagine now.
Oh, no, that's the boxing one. The boxing
one. Yeah, that's the state of us now. And there's PJ Gow weighing in at a shocking 132 kilos. Bursting his belt since January last year. Ready to talk, you know, like, but here he comes, the anemic, the diabetic, the absolutely out of shape, pudgy fat boy, PJ Geller.
You know, the only thing that'll be really entertaining is when there's all the empty seats, and when we go out, and there's like, there's two lads sitting totally separate from each other, and basically we're only there because they're waiting for their train.
Yeah, yeah, and one jacket on the seat in the middle. So some lads just left it there and thought, oh, no, I'm not staying with these two. He's just waiting for us to finish so he can come in and get his coat.
That'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
Eerie silence floating through the place.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if we just went mental? Like, we decided to come out and go, we were asked to speak for 10 minutes, but there's too many subjects, so we're going to describe to you how we feel through the medium of song. You know, that'd be brilliant. I'm like, we're singing in the room.
That's possible. If we had to sum up the show, we'd go, I could be so good.
Imagine. If you want to change the situation.
Everybody.
Come on,
you with the jackets.
Yeah. So what's it like doing radio in the mornings? Well, as I say to Jim McCabe, this would be brilliant to do it this way. As I sometimes say to Jim, you're working all day for a packet of pay. That's living all right. Imagine. And then Jim goes, and a pint with the boys in a bar full of noise. That's living all right.
Tell you, greatest opening to a conference ever.
Oh, it would be great. And then just finishing with no applause. Good night, Dublin. You've been fantastic. Good afternoon, Dublin. You've been fantastic.
And all the lads there with their pens and their little notebooks ready to, you know, jot down words of wisdom. Did you get that? I didn't write that down.
Imagine doing all that.
That's lit.
And then, so, before we go, we've 30 seconds to say questions. Any questions? Any questions? Anything at all?
Oh, my
man
God.
In the front who looks disinterested. Any questions at all? No,
yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, right. Could somebody wake up that chap there?
Tell
him his train is almost
Can
here.
I go to the toilet? Not yet. 30 seconds, sir. If you could just wait 30 seconds, sir, then you can do anything you want.
Yeah, we get paid by the minute.
Mind
you, you've started doing a little bit this. You know, you're becoming one of these keynote speaker types, aren't you?
A little bit,
all of this.
It's amazing what a nervous breakdown does for an afternoon
speech. It's a
career
boost, isn't it?
Like, years telling jokes. Years.
Yeah.
Looking for corporate gigs to tell an old gag at a party and whatever, you know. Yeah. And you get, whatever, you get a fee for it. Now it's like, come tell us how terrible your life was and we'll give you twice what you used to get. You know, it's gas, like, you know. You know what we should also do today, which would be fun? If we do it like This Is Your Life, right? Because we have to tell you what's happened the rest of the day. So we came out and you said...
I don't know what's happening the rest of the day.
Well, I don't know either, but let's do this instead.
Jeez, right? There'll be no time.
So, yeah, we'll come out and we'll do the whole stuff. We could
10
be
minutes.
And then Jim can go, so, ladies and gentlemen, later on in the room, we'll be having this guest. Does this voice sound familiar? And like, hello, my name is Pat Kenny. Yeah, you. Well, who do you think that
wow,
is?
Wow, yeah, look forward to that.
And also, does this voice sound familiar?
Hi, I'm on the radio. My name is.
Leave it there.
It could be literally,
every other lad since 1983.
Yeah. And of course, to finish, it'll be the one and only.
Not good. It's not great. It's good radio. Good radio.
They're throwing a bit of racism. Who's that going to be? Well, you know, so we'd be able to have a great bit of crack there.
I don't know. I'd say it's a good job this is going to be out before the conference starts.
The concert.
Because otherwise, I think they'd be deciding
Please say that, Jim. Thank you for inviting us to open up the concert today.
This radio concert for peace.
For peace. Yeah, this is. Thank you for joining us for our peace. What is it called? Our conference for peace. Definitely. There we go. That's our 10 minutes. We've loads of plans now.
I didn't know we had to. How are we supposed to know what's going on for the rest of the day?
Oh,
honestly, sure, the day is over, for God's sake.
Honestly, it's radio, man. Yeah. Like, you don't have to read the thing. And later on, we'll be talking about podcasts and their effect on the situation. Like, you can literally make it up.
Yeah.
Which will then be followed by two people talking about how radio's changed over the years. I bet you all this is in it. And later on after that, we'll be talking about, well, what has changed in the patterns of listenability, of what is interesting these days that wasn't before. I bet you it's all this old stuff. And stuff about young people, what do they like to hear? They always want a bit of fun, those young people. You know.
Sounds like quite that. It sounds like an unmissable gig.
I'd
almost buy a ticket.
Thankfully, we don't. Well, maybe we're. It'd be great if we weren't allowed in now.
And I guarantee at some stage, the other thing that'll happen for sure is that somebody will turn around to us as we're, either before we go on or when we've just come off or whatever. There will be somebody who will turn around and go, so are you staying then for the rest of the day? Are you out of your absolute mind?
I tried to leave halfway through our 10 minutes.
We've got some very interesting discussion groups a bit later on.
Yeah.
What?
I loved it. What I love about things like that is Jim always gets so... I'd love to know. Let me just see. What am I doing? I would love to stay, but...
PJ's giving me a lift.
Unfortunately, I've just had a death. In the family.
It's a part of my soul when you asked me that question. That's what died, and I'm going to have to go.
Yeah, sorry, I just feel so much less alive now than I did 10 minutes ago, so I'll have to go.
Because people do expect that, don't they? They probably expect, because you do get people in this industry, they're very into it.
It's the same with every industry.
And they think you want to hang on every word.
I remember doing a gig for a financial consultancy firm, right?
Yeah.
And it was a gig, you know. And they were paying a few quid and whatever. And it says, and when you're finished, we have a seat for you saved at our table, the head table. Where you can come down.
Financial consultancy.
Yeah, ooh. And where you can come down and have dinner with us. Don't worry, it's paid for. I was like, I can't believe it. You know the way you have to come up with it and say, can't believe it. Oh, you won't believe what I have to do at 11 o'clock on a Thursday. And I know they mean well.
That's the thing. They do. They think it's a nice. You know, listen, by the way, feel free when you're finished to join us for a few drinks at our.
But yeah.
Oh my God.
But you know what it is? It's people forget that this is your fucking job, right? Imagine you got a carpenter or a plumber or a sparks or a builder in or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And he came around and did the job. And just as he was leaving, you go, oh, you're gone. Sorry, it's just, we've saved you a table. And, you know, at the dinner here.
Yeah.
You can't leave. Like, we're gonna... He's like, I'm just gonna go and get me lunch.
We'd love if you'd come along, unpaid, obviously, and regale us with some carpentry stories.
Well, surely you'd like to talk to the person who owns the house and...
Yeah. Well, we're thinking of getting the neighbours in.
And sitting down and thinking, right, it'll just say, so what would you like for dessert? So you're not... Do you have any food requirements? He'd be like, I want to eat a fucking roll in the car on the way home. You know?
Oh, so, man. I tell you something, next week's podcast will be by the way, it'll be about what happened.
Next week's podcast, we would like to apologise for things said in the name of
Anyway, right, listen, while we'll be doing that here, listen, you can have a listen to this. Some of the best bits from during the week we've thrown together for you to have a little listen to. And well, it was obviously the week of Valentine's, okay? Now this show would never be considered conventional in that regard, and we did take a slightly different look at some of the things that float around Valentine's time, including some of the most loved up places in Ireland.
In Ireland. Yeah. And I am telling you right now, you'll be shocked when you hear where number one is.
And you'll also be shocked when you hear the accuracy of PJ Gallagher's impersonation of those accents. It's quite a thing to behold.
Yeah, yeah. It's just as good as my Belfast accent, Jimmy. Yeah.
Also, the question was asked first, and I don't know why it was asked, about who the patron saint of radio was. Why did that come up?
It came... St. Valentine's Day, of course.
So literally just been talking about Valentine's.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so a saint in Valentine's.
Yeah, yeah. And then we found out what my patron saint is. Something I never knew before. And I'll say now,
I'm very
glad I've been ashamed of my middle name for my entire life, to be honest.
Also, we were talking about morning mistakes. Now, you might think, well, plenty of them to choose from. No, we don't mean on the show. We mean the morning mistakes you make in your general life. Who'd have thought it?
Yeah, yeah, apparently we're all doing it wrong.
All of us. All doing it wrong.
Fitness people, Jim. Like I said last week, bastards.
And also, then, if, you know, there's times when maybe, there's times when somebody has to just come out and say something to you. Normally those people have to be either very close friends or family who are going to deliver some serious home truths.
Yeah, I'm still upset about it, to be honest with you, but there you go.
PJ was on the receiving end of that. Earlier in the week. Again, it didn't come as a massive shock to everybody else.
It came as a terrible shock to me, and it came as a terrible laugh to Jim McCabe. But there you go, you'll find out what that is.
Oh, well, listen, we'll talk to you on the other side.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
So, my nephew, Tommy, right? He's been texting me for a while now. Because I got his family. He's one of those kids. He goes against the grain, right? The family are all United supporters, so he decided he's Liverpool. You know,
and the family. I don't like him already.
And they've been involved in Shelbourne Football Club forever.
Right.
You know, so I sent him a Bose jersey for the crack. You know,
of course you did.
Anyhow, he's been on to me. You know, Uncle PJ, will you take me to a Bose game? I was there. Absolutely, I will. But
you have to pay yourself in.
No. Oh, no, obviously I'll get a free ticket.
Yeah.
So I said, obviously, but you have to check with your parents.
Right.
If they say it's okay, no problem, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, they came back, nah, we'll think about it, we'll think about it. It's been going on for months now. And with the season starting again on Friday, good and proper, I get another message, you know, any chance that you'll take me to a game, you know. I think he's 10 now or whatever.
Right.
Again, if it's okay with your parents, and then I text back, they said maybe. I was like, it's, you know, it's because they're all shells. Do you know what I mean?
They're all tick overs,
you know.
They didn't want them going to a Bose game.
Yeah, and the grandfather wants them in shells, and the grandfather was a physio for shells back in the day and all. So my sister calls up and he says, come here, are you going to let me take this kid to a match or what? He's dying to go to a game.
Hmm.
And she went, oh, I don't know, I don't think so. And I was like, why? Because of the shells thing. And she goes, no, PJ, I didn't want to say it to you, but it's because of you. And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, I really don't want to be insulting, but I just wouldn't trust you as a child. I wouldn't trust you. She goes, I just wouldn't.
This is your sister now.
Yeah, she goes,
I wouldn't trust you with the child.
She said, I wouldn't know what you'd do. She goes, you bring you in a crowd with children, anything could happen. You'll feed them, God knows. For all I know, you'll have giving them a piggyback or a crossbar on a motorbike. You were only supposed to look after them for a half an hour once.
Buying them pints.
Yeah. Yeah, buying them pints at the bar or letting them sample alcohol. And she goes, you were supposed to look after him one time in your life. One time in your life at a funeral. At a funeral. And he managed to run into the sea in all his clothes. And she goes, I just don't trust you to look after my child. I'm sorry.
Did you really let him run into the sea in his clothes?
Well, I didn't let him. I was screaming at him. But he didn't stop.
Screaming at him? Go on! Go on!
No, I was screaming, kick your feet! No, So I was all upset over it, you know. I genuinely...
So she wasn't winding you up or slagging you. She was serious. It was like... Look,
she's been avoiding telling me this for a year now.
That she doesn't trust you to babysit her.
She's just sick of me asking and him asking. So she just straight out says, I don't trust you with my children. It's that simple. I don't trust you. She goes, you had to the baby. I left it 12 years till the next child came along or whatever to ask you to babysit once. I asked you to do that because there was literally nobody else around. And your way of babysitting was taking them to a petrol station saying, get anything you want as long as you shut up and letting them all stay up to whatever time they wanted to.
Yeah. Well, again, very responsible parenting, if you ask me.
I'm proper offended.
They enjoyed it, didn't they?
I was proper offended, like. And then,
that's mad. I just keep visualising the kid running into the sea in all his clothes. And you there going, oh, for the Lord, you've got to get into my car now.
I was there, you're getting into your granny's car. I did put him into granny's car. What can you do if he's running into the sea and you can't catch him? It wasn't my fault. Granted, I shouldn't have taken him to the seaside as a funeral anyway. But I did, so that was the end of that.
Somebody's literally texted in to say, you are the Irish Uncle Buck. That's so true.
But I kind of devastated. I did take it as a bit of an insult, I'll be honest.
Did you?
Yeah, I did take it as a bit of an insult. I'm not going to do anything that stupid, for the love of God. Granted, he come home wet. Big deal.
I just assumed that it was literally your principle. I thought you were applying the principle of, if you do something once really badly, you never get asked again.
Oh, no, I was actually trying that time.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Awfully Noel was on just saying about the whole fact that St. Valentine was Irish.
Heart is in Ireland still, isn't
and
it?
And somebody else, I think it was Billy, if I'm right. Billy, I think, was on to say St. Valentine, apparently, he wanted to give a shout out to all the beekeepers because apparently St. Valentine is the patron saint of beekeepers.
How do they get a saint? Beekeepers.
Why aren't they entitled to a saint?
Well, it's just there's not a lot of saints to go around. There's nothing wrong with being a beekeeper. I'm just saying, you know, as far as the demographics are concerned, there's more deserving. That's all I'm saying.
There's probably patron saints of all sorts of mad things.
And there's no patron saint of radio people, is there?
Is there a patron saint of comedians? Actually, is there a patron saint of radio?
I don't think so. We'll find that out. Yeah. Saints.
It'll be me.
It'll be Jim.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
By the way, Clint has gotten to the bottom of the patron saint thing.
For radio.
For radio, okay. So apparently the story is, right, that Saint Gabriel, the archangel, served as God's messenger, so is therefore considered the patron saint of radio by most.
So that's not a bad one to have.
That's not yours.
Why?
That's
obviously
the patron
mine.
Saint of radio, as in... professional radio, right? Yours is Saint Maximilian Kolbe, okay?
Not a very famous saint,
who was canonized by Pope John Paul II, okay? And he's described as the patron saint of amateur radio operators. And also, it doesn't stop there, buddy. It doesn't stop there. There's loads in this for you. Amateur radio operators, drug addicts, political prisoners, families, journalists, and other normal prisoners. So you've got quite a lot in there. Amateur radio.
People who are terrible at their job and people who are in jail. That's who I'm...
Drug addicts, political prisoners, normal prisoners, and journalists. All very, very similar.
Jeez.
And I remember I said, there's literally something for everyone.
Yeah.
When it comes to saints, patron saints, right?
You did, in
Somebody has pointed out, Rob, in fact, has just said, hey, guys, Saint Fiacre is the patron saint of hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids. Fiacre is my middle name. Paddy Joe Fiacre Gallagher, that's my middle name. So I'm amateurs, prisoners, and lumps on your bum.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
So they did a like Google research to find out what areas in the country, like who was Googling the most sort of lovey-dovey flowers, chocolates, holiday breaks away.
Yeah.
You know, I love you. Are you, do you look, whatever you'd be writing, you know, would you like to meet me in the Nipper 5 or whatever it is. You'd
costumes,
be
putting, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Do you still have that yoke that looks like a balaclava with a red ball or whatever it is? It turns out that Swords is the least romantic place in Ireland. So the least romantic place is what they say.
Even with the pavilions and all.
Even with the pavilions. Wow. Even with the
pavilions that has like the you know, the butler's chocolate place and all.
Yeah, and the location to the airport.
I'm trying to think, perfect for the weekend getaway. What else is in Swords?
There's the show centre there and there's...
I think there's a big deals, is there?
There's a big deals near it. No, it's not
really in Sources.
That's about it. The road to
Malone. I don't know. Airside is out there.
Airside's out there, yeah.
Yeah.
You can get a, yeah. Right, okay, France. Well, okay, I accept that it's not the most romantic place in the world.
Yeah.
But I'm still shocked when it comes out that the number one most romantic population when it comes to towns in Ireland is Athlone. Ah, get over it.
Wow.
Athlone. That's the place that Googled. Yeah, that's the place. They're the most romantic people, Athlone. Oh, I may have to go in there in the credit union now and I may have to borrow €55 to take out for chips and a pie. I hope you'd come
with me. What the way they talk in
Athlone? Athlone, yeah, chips and a pie. Would you come in? Oh, I'd love to see you down there now. Oh, chips. Wear your fancy shoe.
God, the Midlands.
The one I bought you that with you. Next year I'll buy you the other shoe.
And what has Athlone got that the rest of the country hasn't? Just
sentiment.
What makes the people of Athlone so lovey-dovey? And
well, I don't know, because all I know about Athlone is it's got the oldest pub in the world, Sean's, and a credit union. And other than that, there's the Jean Croce Theatre, which I always died in my arse in, so that was never a good day of night. And then
maybe it's when you don't have a lot, you take... You know, you put more emphasis into the people in your life when you don't have any other kind of... Like, if you don't have a pavilions and airside and stuff...
Yeah, yeah.
And a deal's nearby.
And we're not even in a real county. You know, Westmead isn't a real county. It's just an offshoot of the real Mead.
Yeah. It's an annex, yeah.
It's an annex,
I know what you're saying.
So, like...
Unusual, that isn't... By the way, that's not where you were hanging out eating sausages of a Sunday morning, was
it? That was Kinnegad.
Oh, right.
The plaza in Kinnegad. And I'm not even joking. I would take on someone on a date to that plaza any day of the week. It's 40-odd minutes from Dublin on a bike. You can sit down there. Them sausages were gorgeous, I had. Brown sauce in a crispy roll. Not a person in the world came to bother me. The woman served them with a smile and brown sauce... It was absolutely delicious.
Because, it does sound like maybe that's the, you know, that they found the joy, they found the love in simplicity, maybe.
Maybe that's
in the,
it,
in the same way as you did with those sausages in the service station at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they just have something.
When you're
in that
alone, maybe you have to sort of find the simple pleasures.
Yeah, the same. That's what it is, isn't it?
In each other.
Sure, why would you need scenery when I have a face like yours? Huh? Who'd need anything? Who'd need a roof on the house when I can sit under your dress in the rain? Huh? Who'd need it?
The Midlands in general is... By the way, a lot of people are pointing out that your accent sounds very Dundalkish.
Why would you say I'm from Dundalk?
Well, I'm just... But just for the benefit of the people listening.
Yeah.
Give us your Dundalk accent.
Dundalk accent?
Yeah.
I'm from the town.
Right.
More the town.
Now, that's totally different to your Athlone accent.
Athlone, near the credit union.
How anybody confused those, I don't know. What is going on?
Donna and Joe, you're a star.
Where are they from?
Athlone.
I thought it was Dundalk. No, it doesn't matter, sorry.
Donna and Joe. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Why would you stay in Dundalk when Athlone's so romantic?
And then you threw in a little bit of Northern Ireland there at the end.
I may have gone to school in Armagh.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Did you know, if you're listening to us at the moment, the chances are that PJ Gallagher is about to point out to you the mistakes you have already made.
Already made.
Or maybe are in the middle of making right now.
Sitting in the car, enjoying your day, are you? You should be ashamed of yourself. You've already ruined your day.
No matter who
you are, yeah, ruined it already. A fitness coach, Lauren Simpson, she's saying, before most people even start their day, they've ruined it. And she said the three mistakes that almost everybody makes before in the morning, before they even get going, before they even get to work, before they even get their trousers on in a lot of these things, situations, you've ruined your day. These fitness people, I swear to God, they drive me up the wall.
Oh, would you listen talk about poacher turned gamekeeper.
Until I get fit again, I hate them. And then I loved them.
You were like, my God, you were a fitness... I won't even use the terminology.
Listen, Jim.
And now we are like, what did you talk about? Just enjoy your life, let it go.
Put your head through the feckin' wall, I will. Keep talking about that fitness, I will. Going on about it. I think we've established one thing on this show that we know is true, Jim. Whatever I'm doing after time is the right thing. Everything
correct.
Else is incorrect.
Correct.
Right? And at the moment, this is annoying me. So,
What's she saying?
Although we both agree with her first point. So setting multiple alarms in the morning is the first way to mistake everybody makes. Do not do a 6 o'clock alarm, a 5 past 6 alarm, a 10 past 6 alarm.
Why would you do it?
I never knew that. I've
ridiculous.
Never known the answer to it because all you're doing is just... agonising your way into the day. Instead
know what time you have to get up at.
And
get up.
And start to prepare. And, how could you do it? Mother of Jesus. And the clock goes off.
All right, so it's better to be
you're like,
consistently tortured. Is it better to be consistently tortured for 15 minutes of alarms?
Yeah, yeah.
What ridiculous.
And to lie there going, life is desperate. I don't even like the person lying next to me and now I have to get out of bed and face down a job where people think I'm useless because I am or whatever it is. You know,
I mean, the whole point about getting up in the morning is whatever you do, don't think.
Yeah.
Never think.
Just
you have to do it. You have to go on instinct.
You
muscle
do,
memory.
Yeah. You have
if you think about having to get up and go about doing your stuff.
Imagine
nightmare.
Jim woke up every morning at whatever time he gets up. 12:30 or whatever, right? after midnight, whatever it is, when the moon goes full and and then imagine if he started thinking about having to spend the day with me every day, he'd never come in. He'd be like, this fella's gonna be there, he's gonna be talking rubbish. I'm gonna have to correct all his mistakes. He's gonna be walking into the furniture.
Clint, have you been talking to PJ behind me back? I told you all that stuff in confidence.
No, don't worry, Jim.
There was no need.
No, Clint doesn't have to say anything, Jim, to be honest.
You can read it. You can read it in the lines on my face.
It's written in both your faces. I think that's why Clint never goes to bed.
Well, isn't that what, like, you have to just go for it.
You have to go for
it. Don't start thinking about it, dwelling on it.
Yeah,
just get stuck in.
Yeah, she says it's the first way of failing before you even get started. Then getting on your phone first thing in the morning and scrolling through social media. Unbelievable mistake, she says.
Who has time for that?
Well, I would do it now when I'd be going to the Jacks. I'd be standing. I do have a moment where I'm standing there rocking on my feet going, "Ooh, let's see who we hold on, what's going on in the world?" I'd be doing a bit of that. And she's like, you don't want external influences to impact how you feel before you've even left the house. That's what she's saying. So that's a bad idea. Once again, I will point to the fact that if Jim was having a slasher, going to the toilet and, putting on his trousers and all he was thinking about was the next 5 hours of my life are going to be revolving around stopping PJ harming himself. electrocuted or whatever.
Yeah, and how many apology letters am I going to have to write today and stuff like that? If I was to consider all of that, it'd be just no.
Jim's actually
off.
The only person that comes home from work and when his missus goes, "How are you?" he goes, "Sorry, I'm sorry, whatever you did, I didn't, it wasn't, I
don't, I, yeah, yeah. I don't know, why are you asking that? Yeah. What, is there something I don't know?
Yeah, yeah, what happened? So where, he's not here, is he? And then the last one is don't set unrealistic expectations about what your morning routine should be. She's like, we're all different. It doesn't need to be filled with a million things. You don't have to wake up, read, do a journal, go into a skincare routine, go for a walk, hit the gym, have structure in your morning. Yeah, but like be realistic about what you should fit in before you.
That's a good point. Because all the gurus tell you, to meditate and do your exercise and, journal and have a good breakfast and do a thing. Who has time for any of that?
Oh, these flutes like Mark Wahlberg. You know him, he's an awful flute. He's a real head through the wall. Fucking tool. You know the way he's there going,
this is quite an emotive issue
he's
for
like,
you.
I wake up in the morning and I have a cold shower. And then I go to the gym.
And that's like 3 o'clock, then I have a homemade breakfast, and then I sing to my kids, and then we all stand on our heads and watch the sun come up. Yeah, you fucking absolute arse of a human. You've got a personal, you've got a chef and a gym and a swimming pool. Mm. You don't even have to leave your house to do all these things.
Exactly.
I'd be up the community centre now, waiting outside Flyfit, getting the arse legged off me by all the local lads. Not a hope is happening.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, just before you wrap that up, did it say anything about eating excessive amounts of baked goods before 8 o'clock in the morning?
Jim McCabe, that's you're shaming me now. Just because I had 7 pastries before 8 o'clock in the morning.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
There we go, look at that, another one in the bag. You know, we've done over 70 of these things.
I know, it's wild, isn't it? Yeah,
we keep missing all the anniversaries.
We do, yeah, yeah. We'll have to do something for our 100th. You know, I suppose it'll be your second 100th. So we'll have to do something special, because the first one, you know, you weren't feeling great about it. So we'll do that, yeah.
Yeah. A milestone. Like, it's amazing how quickly these things rack up.
I know, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, the weeks, they just keep on coming, don't they? Yeah, they're unbelievable. They're like pastries, Jim. They just keep on coming. They're like morning pastries.
Yeah, you know? It's also a testament.
They keep on coming until one day you die. They
it's
kill
also,
you.
It's also a testament to how far you can actually spread chives just to make it go.
Yeah, just see.
Never ending. Never
ending. And yet another line we'll be using at the conference today. It's an art of spreading shite as far as it'll go. We haven't run out yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Right. Anyway, we've run out for now. Come on, let's get out of here.
Take it easy, everybody. Have a happy day. I was going to say have a great weekend, but sure, that's the show. Just have a great... Do whatever you want to do. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.